Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Footy LG Pod, dropping a bit later this week than normally. That's my bad. Tony was ready to go yesterday, and I ran into some issues. But we're back. We're here. It's still technically Thursday. And Tony, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Holidays are coming up near the end of the work time, so getting vacation started. So can't right wait. Above, like, you know, jam-packed couple of weeks with Boxing Day games and everything in the prem, so it'll be good.
Yeah, no, I it's going to be a very good end of the year. It should be very exciting. You got some great EPL, you got some great Serie A, you got some great NFL coming up, fantasy football playoffs. Oh, it's just such, and I'm not working on top of that, and Christmas. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you can't get any better than that. So, without further ado, let's get right into it because we're going to start this one a bit differently. We're starting on our side. You know, there's been some CPL news, obviously the CONCACAF Champions League drew with both Forge and Cavalry representing Canada, as well as, is it the Whitecaps or the Impact? I don't even remember.
The Whitecaps.
But with the Whitecaps in there as well, too. So we got three Canadian representatives. Tony, you're the resident CPL expert. What's your thoughts on this draw? How did it go for our teams? And you know, what else is happening in the CPL?
So I guess let's start with the Champions League ones, or Champions Cup, sorry. Obviously, Cavalry and Forge going to get their shot at the Champions Cup this year. Cavalry, I think, actually got the easier of the two between the two of them, as they'll be playing Orlando. So it's a home and home and away, a home and home series with Orlando. And which the only reason I think it's easier because that game in Calgary is going to be pretty tough to play in for Orlando. Yeah. But Forge, just they can't get a break. Last time out, it was Cruz Azul, who were like the Mexican champions at the time. And now they get Chivas of Guadalajara to have to face. And it's not easy for those two. Yeah. But you know what? It's going to be curious to see how well they can stack up against these teams. I think it's good to see that two teams from Canada get an opportunity from the CPL. Vancouver FC, Vancouver Whitecaps obviously get Tigres in their tournament, so they're not going to get through that one. But rumors going around. Kicking Cleats had a bit of a rumor, whether it's a stretch or not, I don't know. But
shout out Lazio Closa.
Yeah. This one stirred us up today when you sent it to me. I got all excited. York United, Jovinko, could that be a possibility?
I mean, obviously, I think it's just a rumor that was kind of just made up because he's here, he wants to play, and he just came out saying TFC won't sign him again. So it's crazy. Obviously, there's no real links to it, but why not?
To me, it's a great, I mean, like, New York United, new owners, they seem very, very ready to build the league here. From watching the press conference, I believe they're called Game Plan Sports. So it's three brothers from Mexico who are related to the Nexica, I believe, club Nexica. Yeah. In the Liga MX, their uncle is the owner of that team. So you know, it's in their running teams is in their family, and I mean, what a statement that would be. Buying the Toronto team in CPL and buying the greatest TFC player in history as your first signing. I mean, that fills the seats 100% at York Lions Stadium.
I agree. I mean, listen, Giovinco's been very open about his want to return to Toronto FC. He's gone on trial. Mm-hmm. They said they're not bringing it back. So it looks like it's done for him here. Why not go to York United and play for them? If he still wants to play soccer, he's here, he wants to do something, I would throw the bag at him if I'm York, because you're right. He's going to pack the stadium. York is pretty much where they play is very close to Vaughan. A lot of Italians. Yeah. It's going to be – I think if he kind of wants to say, okay, TFC, you don't want me, this is where I'm going, go here and watch the amount of TFC fans that stop showing up to BMO on Saturdays to show up to York games on Saturdays to see him instead. So –
I mean, the price tickets, I mean, right now, last year, I think the most expensive ticket I bought was $26. Whoa. And I was like, second row.
Well, that's going to go up with Giovinco here.
Even if they double the prices, it's still going to be cheaper than BMO Field. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think they should try it. I think it makes sense. I just do you got to think, does Giovinco want to play in a CPL?
I probably not. I don't see him doing it, but reality is I think it's a big opportunity for him. Yeah. I think for the league itself to have someone like him to come in at later in his career. I think for him, he could, I mean, like, you look at the effect Beckham had on MLS when he came. I think Jovinko could have that same effect with CPL. Just because the amount of fans that will go watch this guy, especially in Toronto. I mean, people travel to Hamilton as well to watch him. So I think it's something that it should be looked into. I don't think – I mean, his age is up there, but I feel like in the CPL, his age – this is talent will trump his age completely, so –
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. He's old. I don't think he's played a competitive game now for the past 2 years, maybe 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's tough, you know. It's tougher, but I would love to see it. I think it'd be awesome. Yeah. But who knows, right? We'll see.
Exactly. Hopefully it's legit and we see him out there at York Line Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really, really cool, but I'm not going to hold out hope. I think it's just I think it's kind of a long shot, and I think he kind of just put it out there because, again, it makes sense. Is it even close to happening? I don't know.
It's one of those things where, like, even I mean, just to reiterate, like, just getting a name like that to lead the team to get people in the seats is, I mean, something that we mentioned many times that TFC should have done at the end of the season to just give us something to watch. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. So, but anyways, you know, I think let's get to this early today. Let's get to some top bins, trash bins.
Okay, so starting off top bins, trash bins. Obviously, we know how much Todd Boehly spends with Chelsea. Obviously, last week around this time, we were all wondering if Shohei Ohtani was going to become the newest TFC fan by joining the Blue Jays, but he ended up signing with the Dodgers. And I just want to say, top bins, trash bins, Todd Boehly's contract negotiation skills.
For Chelsea or for LA Dodgers?
I mean, in general, because this deal that he has with Ohtani is crazy, that Ohtani's only going to be making $2 million a year for the first 9 years of that contract.
It's insane. Like, the way they do it, it seems wrong. Like, it doesn't seem like that should be legal the way they do it.
Yeah.
Also, fuck Ohtani for not coming to coming to Toronto. But yeah, dude, it is super, super weird. I don't know how that's allowed. It seems super unfair. But hey, good on him. Listen, Todd Boehly though, he's never been afraid to spend money. You look at his Chelsea team. They suck, but he spent a lot of money to get them there. So it's, you know, it's not awful. I mean, it sucks he didn't come to Toronto, but I mean, they did a post. I can't remember if it was Bar Down or who on TSN or somebody that did a post of people with the same AAV in the NHL as Shohei Ohtani, and I didn't know any of the names. Like, I didn't know any of those players, like Noel Achiari or something. I was like, who the hell is that? And he's making the same per year as Shohei, which is boggles my mind. But hey, what can you do? I mean, top bins for Boehly for getting it done. If it's legal and he's doing it, then what's the issue, right?
And the part that kills me is that the whole premise of the deal is that 10th season, Ohtani's just going to switch his residency to Florida or Texas just so he doesn't have to pay the tax on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy that Todd Boehly finds these loopholes to make this work and convinces these players, like, yeah, take $2 million a year. Then that 10th year, you're going to get 600 and $80 or $40 million. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So I'll give it top bins because that's just the day and age we have right now with sports. Number two, so we're going back to little jerseys. We haven't talked about jerseys in a while, but there was a leak a couple weeks ago, and I've been skipping through it because other things just pop up. But Belgium released their alternate kit for the Euro 2024 tournament. And if you went to school in Canada, more than likely if you went to school, same as ours. I know our French teachers used to play this show all the time, Tintin. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, do I ever.
Well, Belgium's kit, alternate kit for the Euro 2025 a homage to Tintin's blue and shirt with the white collar. Top bins, trash bins.
Buddy, I haven't seen it.
It literally looks exactly like that shirt that he would wear.
Then it's disgusting. I don't need to see it. Trash bins. Fucking Tintin. That guy haunts my nightmares at times. Yeah, I have no time for that. Yeah, no, no thank you. No thank you at all. Trash bins, I don't need to see it. Trash bins.
Yeah, you know, I'll say it's top. It's a cool idea. But I didn't realize that he was actually Belgian, not French, for that whole time. So,
yeah, I just assumed. I guess Belgium is a French they speak, right? So,
yeah,
makes sense. But
and for the final one, so this, as you said, you know, we record this Thursday night. But when this comes out, we will be having fully fledged in Kanye West's newest album.
Ooh.
I have to ask, Top Bins, Trash Bins, Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign sample of Everybody by the Backstreet Boys.
Everyone's so excited to hear that. And I've heard the verse, like, from his live party with it. Benny the King, Burger King. Like, I'm so ready to defend it with my life. I don't care how shit this album is. I'm going to love every second of it. That Top Bins for the Backstreet Boys cover. Yeah. Love me some Backstreet Boys cover. But, dude, I mean, right. I'm fucking jacked for Northwest's debut.
It sounds pretty sick.
Like, I can't wait. I'm going to be bumping the hell out of it. I might drive to work tomorrow just to hear it in my car. I work from home, by the way.
Just going to drive around.
Just going to be circling the block, you know, bumping the new Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign. I'm excited, man. I don't know how good it'll be, but I'm giving Top Bins to everything about it. So it's Top Bins for me.
Oh, I love it. I mean, for me as well, Top Bins. I mean, Backstreet Boys, that's, you know, childhood stuff there, right? That's just. Right, like click those old memories when I heard that. So I'm excited for that. You know what? And I know there were some people that were making fun of Kanye for the lyric, that Burger King lyric, but I'm like, maybe it's gonna be one of those moments like that Hoopty Scoop song where he did the joke with Drake.
Yeah.
So I could see him just making shit up for that one concert, just actually have an unreal thing. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good. I'm pumped. But Tony, before we move on and talk about some Prems, some Champions League, I want to play a new game I've been seeing on TikTok. Okay. So what happens is this guy, he goes down, he'll give you questions, and it's five questions. It'll starts with a name five, then name four, name three, name two, name one, and it gets harder and harder as it goes along. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to get this done. If you don't do it within 60 seconds, you lose. Obviously, it starts easy and gets harder as it goes on, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to be doing it. I know you, the way you are with some of these trivia stuff is you're, like, weirdly good. But it's going to be a bit difficult. I definitely don't think I would be able to do it, but let's see if you could do it. So we're going to start.
So you're like saying like name players that play with this guy or something like that? Or
yeah, exactly. So first will be like name five, you have to name five of them. If you get that right, the next will be name four, you have to name four. Then name three, name three, name two, you name two. And then name one, you name one. And if you get that within 60 seconds, you win.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
As soon as I stop saying the first question is when I'm going to start the time. You ready?
Sure.
Name five teams that start with R.
Red Star Belgrade, Rangers, Reading. Oof, that's tough.
Come on, dude.
How can I think of them? Red Bull Salzburg, Red Bull Leipzig. Yeah.
There you go. Name me four players whose last name starts with S.
Oh, shit. Why is it so hard? Why can't I get this?
Buddy, you're on the spot, dude. This is easy one.
Bernardo Silva, Bruno Silva, Thiago Silva, and Shevchenko.
Okay, there's the four. Name me three stadiums in La Liga.
Camp Nou, Santiago Bernabeu, and Wanda Metropolitano.
Name two defenders in the French league.
Oof, Marquinhos and
that's time.
It's not 60 each question. It's 60 altogether. No, it's
60. Why am I giving you 60 seconds for each question? The whole thing. You
that's gotta what get I understood.
Done. No, so you almost had it. So you needed one more defender from the French league. Nuno Mendes, you said Marquinhos. What other ones are there? There's Skriniar. There's Kimpembe. Lucas Hernandez, Achraf Hakimi.
No, Kimpembe's on Bayern now.
Oh, is he? I thought he was still on.
What was the last question?
The last question was going to be name one Ghanaian Champions League winner.
Suzy Montari.
Yep, you would have got there. Cause, so that was, I have to make something. So it's either Montari would be the one, or I thought for your Chelsea, Michael Essien.
That's true,
the only two that I would know. I think there's only like five, but two. No, Kimpembe's on PSG still, I think.
Oh, is he? I'm pretty sure he went to Bayern.
No, he's still on PSG. He's been on PSG, PSG since 2014. Yeah, so that
I was that, actually, I was, the funny thing was, I was actually going to say Maxwell, but he retired a few years ago. I know he's a PSG defender. That was after Marquinhos, it was Maxwell. I'm like, no, he's not there anymore. So
you would have, you know what? So you got the hardest one. You know what, though? With the time being counted down, I think that Ghanaian one would have been a little bit harder. But you got Montari quick.
Yeah.
I thought you were just like you eventually did, but I thought you were just gonna start listing off Silvas from the start. That's not that'd be easy to start.
You know the worst part?
Bernardo, Thiago, Bruno.
When you said S, I kept thinking of that Solanke guy that plays with like Bournemouth or something.
That would have worked.
I don't know why it kept popping up first, but I'm like, no, it's gotta be a fake name when I said it. And then as I after I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, Solanke's the guy that just fucked Man U.
I don't know why I didn't just say that, because I got the right one first.
All right, well, listen, you failed this week. Maybe we give it a go next week with five new questions and we see if you can pass it then.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I don't mind it.
All right, we'll keep going. Well, you know, now that we're talking about some European stuff, let's look at the past Champions League decision day. Came and it went. There was some upsets for sure, but nothing really crazy shifted in the groups like we thought there was. I mean, when you look at the last day, there wasn't much to movement to happen, if that makes sense. I mean, there was like, will Man U be able to make Europa? Which, spoiler alert, they didn't. Mm-hmm. Everything else, Barca got upset by Antwerp, but they were already through. Dortmund and PSG tying puts them both through, which we said was going to happen. Milan upsetting Newcastle was a bit of a big one. Milan was big underdogs. I was hammering them on the bets because I just, you know, me and Milan, and they came out with that big 2-1 win to clinch Europa. So that's nice. But what I want to kind of talk about here is when you look at the leagues, you talk about the big leagues, you talk about EPL is number one.
Yeah.
Well, EPL is only going to have two teams into the next round. Not only that, they have two teams in the next round, and to their other two teams that made it, completely dropped, not even the kick to Europa, completely dropped. That means they came last in their group. So that's not a good showing. And then you got a league like La Liga, who they have Madrid, Sociedad, Atletico, and Barca all topping their group.
Mm-hmm.
That's four of their teams that they sent top their group. And I believe a fifth Spanish team was in there, wasn't there? Sevilla got dropped completely last. Sevilla doesn't even get Europa.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, that's got to hurt for them. But yeah, so you got this La Liga with
everyone in Europa League is cheering right now that they have a chance to win now.
Oh, 100% they are. And then you look at a league like Serie A. Serie A has Napoli, Inter, and I think Lazio made it through, and Lazio.
Yeah.
So they had three, then they have Milan going to Europa. So again, they perform better than the EPL. You look at Germany, you got Bayern. You got Dortmund, both winning their groups. You got RB Leipzig in second. So that's three of their teams go into the next round. And I believe, the other German team came last, Berlin. So Berlin completely dropped as well. And then, like, so again, I'd still say that's a better showing than the EPL. I think the EPL had one of the worst showings from the major leagues.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Man U and Newcastle in the defense, that was the toughest group. That group, I think I saw a picture that showed every single week there was a different 1-2 combination.
Yeah.
So that's a tough. And even then at the end, I mean, AC Milan was 2-goal difference and they could have probably jumped ahead of PSG, right?
Yeah.
So that was a tough one. So I'll give Newcastle, you know, benefit of the doubt on that one. But United, I mean, as much as I was joking at the beginning of the year saying Gethless or I will jump United, it's crazy that Man U couldn't get through with Copenhagen. I mean, Copenhagen is the one that came through.
Yeah.
That was crazy to see. I mean, reality, I think this – I mean, English soccer, as much as they're a great team, as much as it's the top-tier league, I mean, reality is – I mean, Man City cruised through their group, and Arsenal had a decent time. But I think the competition in Champions League itself is getting – better, and you can't just show up anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Man U can't score goals in Champions League, and they also can't defend. They let in, the most goals in Champions League group stage history or something like
they
that.
They scored 12 goals in 6 games, though.
Yeah, they also let in fucking 15.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Was it 15? It was something like that. Yeah, 15 goals. The most
tied for second. Antwerp had the most with 17.
Okay, so that's who you're rivaling with, Antwerp. You need to fucking look at yourself in the mirror and say, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. I don't know how Ten Hag still has a job. That defense and goalkeeping is scary bad, and the offense is just not there. But hey, Ronaldo was the problem. Remember that when Ten Hag came in?
That's crazy.
The last time they made it to the next round was when Ronaldo put the team on his fucking back.
Crazy how a year change, what difference a year makes. Huh?
2 years. two Champions League runs without him.
No, no, he was there last year. He joined Al Nassr in January.
Yeah, but he wasn't there last year. You know?
Yeah.
As soon as Ten Hag started, Ronaldo barely played.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, I don't know, like I said, Newcastle would make sense, but Man U to not be able to get out of that group, at least for Europa League, that's embarrassing.
It is.
Kudos to Copenhagen. They got the job done at the end against Galatasaray, because Galatasaray had everything in the bag for them. I mean, they had the easier opposition. You know, they had Bayern helping them out with Man U, so that was pretty big.
Yeah, shout out Copenhagen. I mean, they deserve to get through, so good for them. But again, like we said, decision day, nothing really surprised us in what happened.
It's a shame. This will be the last group stage we see.
Why do they got to change shit, man?
I know. Like, I get the league format. I mean, I'll be honest, the league format, I don't think it'll be as good.
No.
I think it's going to be, you know, you're going to – I think if – It's more games for no reason. I know it's only 2 more games because you're going to play 8 games, but this was nice. This was nice. I mean, like, you had, you know, this sets up such a nice round of 16. You know, you look at there's going to be some crazy matchups. I mean, with Inter Napoli being in second place, PSG being in second place, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see.
If it ain't broke, no need to fix it. Like, it's just driving me insane how they see something like Champions League, which has been working wonderfully for years now. And they think, hey, how do we improve it? You don't. Let it keep doing the way it is. It's fantastic. Exactly. Oh, we want to squeeze more teams in. Why? It's the tournament for the best of the best. We don't need no shittier teams coming in to dilute this tournament. It's the best of the best. That's what I want to see. That's what everybody else wants to see. The tournament has been wonderful the way it is. This new method, I don't know. Will I give it a chance? Of course I will. It's Champions League.
But
I do not have high hopes for it. I like the group stage that goes into the knockout round better. They're going to be playing now 8 games against 8 different teams. You know what I mean? You're not facing that same team twice. So if you lose to, let's say, like this year, right? So this year you had that last game being Milan versus Newcastle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first game was in Milan, and now it comes back to Newcastle, and it's like, okay, Newcastle, you're in a must-win. You've already faced Milan once. You got to go. You know what I mean? Like, it makes stakes. You know the team. There's not rivalry there, but there's something there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you look like even the Real Madrid and Napoli thing. Like, they played 2 great games.
Yeah.
You know, Real Madrid won both games, but I mean, like, Napoli came in, hosted them. They played their ass off against them, and then they went to Bernabeu and almost pulled it off there. It was surprising because you have that like intensity. Okay, we played it once. We can maybe do this, right?
Yeah. So
you're not gonna get that. You're not. You're gonna lose that. Like you say, you're gonna lose that home and home. You know, like that intensity.
100%. I don't like it, but you know, people like to fuck things up with that, especially ones that I like because they just like to piss me off. So we'll see how it goes. I have low hopes, but I'm ready to be surprised. We will see.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, Champions League window's over for the year. We won't have Champions League until the new year. So let's look at the upcoming Prem schedule. We got one big, big game this weekend. I don't want to discount Arsenal-Brighton. It's going to be a good game, don't get me wrong. But Liverpool-Man U in Liverpool.
Wow. See those odds for Man U.
Buddy, I think Liverpool's going to fucking dominate. Like, I don't even
7.5.
Dude, I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, no. Not the way Liverpool's playing right now.
No.
They are on fire. I mean, I know they lost earlier today, but they already won their group and everything, so it was a meaningless game. But wow, I mean, Liverpool is just playing. Salah back to form himself as well.
You know what? They're good, and Man U is not. The only good thing is, at least in our conversations, I still have you, Chelsea, to thank God fall back on, because they suck even more. But both our teams just absolutely blow. I'm not looking forward to that game, because I think it's going to be one of those big ones. You know what I mean? Like the absolute dominated, just,
I mean, Liverpool need it, because Arsenal have, I mean, I know Arsenal is Brighton, but Liverpool need these 3 points. I mean, in reality, who would have thought we'd be in the day and age where playing Man U was the easier option than Brighton?
Right?
You know.
But you know what? And it's crazy, because, man, if Brighton can somehow pull out a win and Newcastle pull out a win and Man U gets crunched, Man U drops a bunch of spots, you know? So
yeah.
Man U's still in a must win, because they need to get into that top five. And right now they're just sitting outside of it, 3 points behind Tottenham. So it's going to be a difficult one. And I'm really expecting one of those bad games, like almost like one of those 6-0 games. That's what I'm expecting.
If it gets to that point, that's it for Ten Hag.
I fucking hope so. What else could there be? Like,
to me, if you get blown out by Liverpool and Liverpool and you don't get fired, then you're stuck with a guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you said earlier, I don't understand how he can still be around. I mean, I don't know how you feel about those Graham Potter rumors.
Yeah, not much better.
But I mean, to see the point of Man U with the amount of money they spent, the players they have, and you're going into a game against Liverpool, and the odds are almost guaranteed for Liverpool. And
don't get me wrong, I'm gonna throw a fiver. I'm gonna throw a fiver on Man U win, draw, win, because you know
I might just put 10 on it.
That sneaky draw could happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, don't get like we're forgetting Man U has the players,
right?
Man U, well, that's true. I have been staying away from the draws because Man U does not draw. But Man U does have the talent. When you look at them on paper, other than the defensive line, when you look at them on paper, their forwards, their mids, it's just as good. Defense is where it falters.
I wouldn't say 7-0 because their last match ended 7-0 back last year in March.
That's what I'm feeling again, bro.
Imagine two straight.
Maybe worse.
7-0.
Maybe 8.
I don't think it'll be that bad. I think I can see a 3-0.
Buddy, who's playing defense for Man U?
I know, but I don't
think... Fucking Maguire got injured and everyone was complaining. I was cheering God.
Liverpool's next game is West Ham in the League Cup, which that's whatever. And then I'm pretty sure their game after that is our Arsenal. So,
dude, I think Man U is going to get absolutely shit on. The over under 8.5 goals is plus 6,500, meaning if I bet $5 on it, I'll win 325, and I may bet it because I think it could be 9-0. I really think it could be
9-0. I don't know. I know Man U has no defense, but that's crazy.
Well, come back here when Liverpool wins 9-0, and you can thank me later for that sweet, sweet tip I just gave out. Fuck, it's going to be tough, man. But you know what? At least it's on before NFL starts, so I'll be able to watch it and then go to that. So that's always good. Your Napoli boys, who do they have this weekend?
They have Cagliari at home.
So that's a fucking loss.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Napoli play at home. We know this.
Seriously, it's crazy.
Braga at home, though, so that's nice. That's their first home win since the beginning of October, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, it's another one of the situations. Crazy what a year does, you know. Just not up there anymore. Title race is pretty much out of their hands. There's no way there.
Yeah, when you see points back, it's tough.
When you see Bologna is up by a point on them, it's crazy. So,
yeah,
it's a lot. Who knows? Maybe that one win gets it off their chest, and Osimhen finally posted him in a Napoli. Another Napoli jersey post finally after all the controversy. So maybe it's maybe a change of the tide. You know?
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? You never know, bro.
Braga is not. I wouldn't say it's an elite team, but I mean, Napoli did the business what they needed to do, right?
Braga fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, I know. You still have to play. You know,
hey,
we see it many times against teams that suck and Napoli just don't show up. So
you're not wrong. No. Like I get it, but I mean that they're right now the fourth best team in the Portuguese league, which is an awful league too. So I mean, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. But But yeah, I'm
hey, a win's a win.
a win is a win. And listen, it's the season for miracles, right? So yeah. You never know what can happen. Let's hope for the best. A nice miracle of Man U win upsetting Liverpool and then Napoli getting back in the win column in Serie A. And we'll all have a much nicer next Thursday to talk to everyone. We may have a special episode planned for next Thursday. Stay tuned, guys. Not 100% sure how it's going to work out yet. It may just be me and Tony back here next week. It may not be. We'll have to wait and see. And then the week after that, we're going to get ready for our year in review episode. So that's to look forward to. And guys, you can catch us every Thursday on Spotify, on Apple Music. At FootyLG. Also check out our Instagram and TikTok at FootyLG. And on behalf of myself and Tony, we're wishing everybody a happy holiday season. Be safe out there. Have fun. And we'll be back here next Thursday. So see you guys then.